Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
All right, welcome in, guys. It's Easter Sunday. Chilling out in the study slash studio. Jared's at his house and we look tired for different reasons, I think, but we've had a pretty good weekend. How was your Easter, Jared?
Yeah, it's good. Staying at home because we have to, but we actually got a whole heap of stuff done around the house, which is good. So we're pretty happy with that. How about you? How's the kidlets?
The kidlets. Kidlets had a great day. I had the babysitting duties the morning, giving them brekkie, and the wife set up the Easter egg hunt. We went out there and it was brilliant. There was surprises that I didn't even know were coming, which is so good. We set up a fire. We just sat out there eating chocky and then spent the afternoon.
Chocky by the fire?
No, like back from the fire. Keeps the mozzies away. And we spent the afternoon cooking up crumpets and marshmallows. It was brilliant. We're all pretty wrecked. But as far as Easter goes, it was great.
Until the dentist appointment comes.
Well, actually, Maddie's dad's partner brought toothbrushes and toothpaste for the kids as part of her present, as well as the chocolate. So she pretty much gave chocolate and then gave toothpaste.
That is just not on.
That's just covering yourself, eh? It's like, yeah, wreck your teeth, but...
fix them.
I've got insurance.
No, that's not, like, I know your kids are very young, but they're going to look at that older and go, what?
Oh, what? That's great. That's so good. Mum and dad, they're in the high-risk category, or the risk category because of their age. So they snuck by their house early in the morning and put eggs all up in the front garden that the kids didn't know about. So we had to take them up there and really pretend that an Easter bunny had come around and dropped everything off.
For that wasn't creepy.
Yeah, could have done. They've seen them around enough. But that was really cool. And it was a good Easter. And I'm glad that we got the bulk of this show done midweek because I really didn't have a lot of time outside of that to plan for tonight, but.
Oh, well, we've got the day off from work tomorrow, which should be great.
That's true. So, guys, our big feature of tonight is our interview with Kyle Flanagan, our first interview we've done on the show. Kyle was awesome. That'll be coming up. It's a feature. It'll be right in the middle of the show. We've got a couple of topics to talk about beforehand.
I just want to throw out that is the first time we've ever interviewed someone, and it was a little bit rough. We were jumping all over the place, but Kyle Flanagan handled it really, really well.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with this, the fact that we had specific questions we wanted to ask in the order that we wanted to ask. So we put that plan in place.
We just didn't stick to it. I can't interrupt your order.
That's what I mean. But he was great, and we'll get to that. So unfortunately, we're going to start off on some, I guess overall positive news, but you guys might have heard in the media incident with Tim Laffey that's happened over this weekend. On Friday, so Good Friday, Tim Laffey was out at a local park training with a mate, keeping their social distancing. He came home. He told his wife he was going to go hit the weights at the home gym. She said, do you mind spend time with how about we spend time as a family? He's like, yeah, that's cool. And then just building up through the day, he was getting continually agitated. He had some alcohol for the first time since Christmas, and a lot of things probably just built up, and he removed himself from the family by the look of the story, and did some damage to their home. The neighbors got worried and called the police because they could hear yelling, and he got admitted to hospital for wounds to his hands.
That's all. That hasn't been 100% confirmed, but that's the story going around.
That's the story going around. And on Sunday... So 2 days later, he then admitted himself to hospital with an ambulance coming out to the property or to the house to take him into a hospital. So he's taken a step basically to remove himself from the family because he felt himself getting worked up. There is no links whatsoever to domestic violence or any of his family being in danger. But what was interesting out of this, the fact that he removed himself from his family, obviously realised something was going on that he may or may not have experienced before, and put steps in place to seek help and made his club aware of the incident, which is good to see. But it kind of linked to something we talked about with Kyle with regards to the routine that these players usually go through, and now they're separated from that and the impact it can have.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because there's been a lot of ideas about how they're going to start the season up. And so all the players are what, in isolation now. They might live with a few people, but they're in isolation where they're used to going out every day, you know, hanging out at the clubs and all that kind of stuff. And then they're talking about putting them in a bubble, possibly. I don't know if that's, to be honest, no one really knows unless they actually do it. No one's going to know. So it'd be interesting how they handle a bubble, especially with the amount of testosterone running around with 480 NRL players.
Yeah, I think they've pretty much shut the bubble idea down. But even when play does resume, they're still going to be under this similar protocol. You're either at home, or you're at the club, so they don't have freedom to go anywhere else. So it's just us as day-to-day people are finding it difficult at times to be separated from our usual day-to-day lives. Imagine what some of these guys are going through where their day-to-day lives are set out, especially when they're at the club. They don't really have the choice. This is training. This is what, blah, 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 blah. And on your down days, they're the only ones where you don't have the structure. And if you have one day a fortnight, 2 days a fortnight like that, it's a welcome relief, I guess. But going from full structure to none, especially with these young fellas, I'm surprised they haven't heard more. But I really good kudos to Laffo for putting those steps in place. So interesting to see what happens from here. We'll talk more about the return date on the other side of the interview. The only other thing I want to throw at Jared, I haven't given him any preparation for, is the concept that was thrown out for the competition to go to this year. It's been shut down for this year, but the conversation's still there to whether it's going to happen. Conference system, yes or no?
No. All
right. This is going to be awesome because I'm full on yes. So that's something we're going to be discussing. First. No, we're not going to discuss it now. That might be a show probably for next week or down the track.
Oh, I don't
see where Jared stood on it.
Oh, mate.
He hates it. Look at it.
I can't stand it. What? Why? Yeah, What's the point?
This is going to be great. We'll talk about that in a later episode. I just wanted to put him on the spot. Anyway, guys, the interview we did with Kyle, as Jared said, was Wednesday. This is now Sunday. So a couple of things have changed since then, but Kyle was great. We talked about a whole bunch of things. mostly footy, embarrassing moment on behalf of Jared as normal.
It wasn't embarrassing. It was perfectly legitimate. He loved it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but we will. Here's Kyle, Jared and I. Enjoy the interview. So this is our interview with Kyle Flanagan. He's been awesome enough to join us on the pod this week. So I just want to say, hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Hey, boys. Thanks for having the podcast. How good?
Yeah, wicked. So we mentioned on the last episode, Jared's brother has been doing some stuff for us in his business world. And basically, we've got a bunch of questions and Jared's going to kick us off.
We're fans. I'd like to know what the process is when you sign with another club. So obviously you signed with the Roosters, last year and you started up.
Yep.
So what's the process from the first phone call to walking into the Roosters training session for the first time? The stuff because all we hear from fans is, there's a rumour that Kyle Flanagan's going to sign the Roosters, and then it's, you know, stays for a period of time. And then you hear a rumour about, you know, you met with Trent Robinson in a coffee shop, for example. So what is actually behind the scenes of that process?
Yeah, well, first thing I'll say is most of the time when you hear a rumor, it's mostly spot on, I think. I reckon most of the rumors I see, they're mostly on par there. But, yeah, for me, when I was at Cronulla, these days you got to be pretty careful about meeting up with other clubs. Obviously, I was on contract there with Cronulla there for 2 years. So before I actually spoke with the Roosters, I was supposed to get clearance and, I guess, release before I spoke to another club. But, yeah, I caught up with the Roosters guys, spoke with Nick Politis, and Trent Robinson. So it wasn't a coffee shop. Was that?
Yeah, it wasn't like meeting with shop. Nick Politis and Robinson. Have you met them before?
I was stunned. It.
Yeah.
yeah, that was a pretty cool process, just meeting those guys and, yeah, just listen to them on what their journey's been in their life so far. And, yeah, I guess from that dinner, I just decided I wanted to come play for the Roosters and I couldn't say no.
So it took one meeting for you to be, you know, well and truly in.
Yeah, I think going to the meeting, I obviously wanted to go there. Obviously, the championship team they are and the whole club and how the club's run in general, the opportunity to say no to that was too good, and to play alongside some of their players is honestly a dream, yeah.
It links in kind of like, a local junior of Cronulla and playing with, is it Aquinas? Is that how you pronounce it, the Colts?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, Aquinas. I'll give you a pass.
Aquinas. Okay, sorry. So playing with them, and so being in the Cronulla Shire, and then pretty much the positions there, and they bring Sean Johnson across. So you would have seen yourself. Look, you got Chad Towns, and you got Sean Johnson. I'm going to get a crack here and there, but yeah, the opportunity at the Roosters, you've got a starting halves position, and that's pretty much that would have played a big role in it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, coming through the junior system at Cronulla, I had ambitions to play Cronulla for my whole career. But, the opportunity at the Roosters to go play for the defending premiers, back-to-back premiers, I should say. I got to play on a World Club Challenge over there in England as well. So,
yeah, how was that? How was the tour for that, by the way?
Unbelievable to play over there. My family didn't get to go over there. That was a bit disappointing, but to play my first game for the Roosters in such a big game over in England in front of a crazy crowd. They felt like they were on top of me sometimes. So, yeah, that was a moment I'll never forget for sure.
Any awesome stories out of the tour to England?
Oh, there's a few stories, a few good night after it. there's one story I'll give you guys. I know Jared Hargraves, Murray Hargraves, he likes to go around and jump in people's rooms, so all the boys make sure they lock their doors. And if he gets in your room, he ends up flipping your bed when you're sleeping. So he's a bit of a scary man, old Jared. So
he's a legend as well. How big is he in real life?
He's definitely a big man in real life compared to what you see on TV.
I'm a Manly fan. Like, I loved him when he was with us, and I've hated him ever since because he's one of those players that, yeah, you love if they're on your team and you'd hate if they're on anyone else's.
100%. 100%.
So with regard to, I've forgotten how to pronounce it already, Aquinas.
Damn. Getting better.
So I just want to clarify this. So Bronson Sherry and Blake Brayley are two of your best mates. And was it 10 consecutive premierships from under 8s to under 17s?
How do you win a premiership in under 8s?
That's back before you just get participation medals. You actually win.
So how do you get premierships in under 8s? Do you actually have a medal saying you won a grand final in under 8s?
Yeah, I think there is. I think so, yeah. We got pretty lucky there. We had a good group of mates going at that time. We all went to the same school and obviously played footy together in the afternoons. And yeah, lucky enough, us three guys went on to play NRL.
What was there a guy in your team that you fought, because you got free views that made NRL, was a guy in the team that you're like, you're definitely going to make it to, and then for whatever reason didn't?
It's definitely Bronson Sherry's older brother. He was the gun coming through the ranks. Everyone, there used to be articles writing he was going to be the best Cronulla junior produced since ET, and I guess Bronson grew up in his shadow, I guess, but how things turned out, Bronson ended up overtaking his brother, but yeah, his older brother was the gun coming through the junior grades.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So when you rocked up to the Roosters training sessions for the first start of it, how long did it take you? Like, what's the process of getting into their plays and stuff like that? Or do you do fitness straight away, or you just kind of 50-50? What's the process in learning all their movements and, like, you know, you got to be there at that certain time and that kind of stuff? When you move,
yeah, it's pretty hard. Obviously, being a Canara my whole junior career, I had to really understand how the Roosters play, and that the Roosters are really big on their style of playing.
Yeah.
Understanding their defensive systems, how they want to play their footy. But coming to the Roosters as a halfback, I had to be ready to go day one. So I guess learning the plays, that started way before I went there.
Oh, really? So they gave you a heads up what they were before you even rocked up?
Yeah, for sure. I think I got knocked out in week one of the finals, and the Roosters are still playing there. So I had an opportunity to sort of get involved with the club and start to really
So you were hanging out with them last year before even the grand final?
I wasn't hanging out with them, but I had the opportunity to go through their plays and I guess look at the paper of the plays and really watch it real life in the game. So I guess that was a little step forward before going into preseason.
So a couple of things on that, and you kind of touched on it before without saying it officially. So you said Roosters were meant to get permission beforehand. Did they actually get permission before they contacted
Jesus,
you?
Jesus, Adam.
I don't want to get fined or anything here.
I was just rushing.
Yeah.
So,
there's always conversations and that going on, but yeah. I don't think you can go for tours and that through the facilities and that sort of stuff. But you can always have a chat to different people and see how you're going. I guess that definitely happened for sure.
Cool. When you rocked up for the first time, who was your starstruck person? Who you like, holy shit, that's him?
I guess I went there the day after the grand final, actually. I might have been a couple of days after the grand final. And as soon as I walked in the door, I seen Luke Keary. And I think he was still finishing up after the few days. So he was half asleep. And that's the first time I met Luke Keary. Probably when he was half pissed, I reckon.
Is his head as big as it looks on TV in proportion to his body?
I never noticed that. I might give him a bit of stick about it. But no, he's a good bloke, and he's done a lot for me so far, yeah.
What's it like playing with Cordner? Boyd, like, is that this
that hasn't happened yet for me? I'm really looking forward to that opportunity, obviously, to play with the Australian captain and New South Wales captain for sure.
Right. So, I'm gonna tie, like, I know we're going all over the shop here. I'm gonna try and tie two of the questions together. We've kind of half touched on both. So, the first half, but linking back to playing with Brayley and Sherry growing up. And there's a quote when you re-signed for the Sharks through to 2021, talking about wanting to be a leader at the club and it was your junior club and all that sort of stuff. Now, this will be the first time, I guess, you're playing against those guys. Was there anyone that you talked to about what it's like to actually face your mates or brothers? I was thinking of like the Morris brothers because, again, players, when they talk to the media, I guess, it's kind of we're preparing like it's another game. It's just a game. Is there anything like have you sought out advice or anything?
I guess when you talk about that quote, obviously going through the juniors, I saw what Paul Gowan did for the community and what really those guys really did for the fans, and I really wanted to do that. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but I think I was supposed to verse Cronulla this week actually in round five, so. I was so stoked for that game. Hopefully, I wanted to play in front of my family against Cronulla. But, I really wanted to play well. Obviously, you've got to focus on your team and your own performance. But you'll make it a little bit sweeter if you versus your old team, for sure.
I could so see part of that game where Sherry gets a break and you're going back in defense and call the ball on the inside. And he's just like, yep.
He's over the try line, you're 10 metres away, and to make the vertical straight out, you just run over you and put the ball down.
Yeah, I'd love that.
You'd have to use, may as well.
Okay, straight up, what team do you hate?
Oh, I'm going to stick an ass in the question first, anyway.
I haven't had much luck against Manly. I've versed Manly twice, and you said that. I've versed them a couple of times in first grade so far, and I think it's been done from two, so... Yeah, there you go, mate. Manly.
What a,
How was that game in round two? Because Jared and I were watching it like in our own houses, but just messaging each other through it. It was like 9-8. And we'd watch the other games for that weekend. It just looked a step up on everything else, even though the score was so low. It just looked like finals footy already. And it was round two of the season.
Yeah, it exactly was. I think it had the most play the balls in the last 10 years. There's a stat that had the most ball in play. So that just shows the intensity of the game, how high it was, and I guess the quality of the game. So, yeah, I think I ran over 9Ks that game. So that's quite a lot, yeah.
And there were sections where Jared and I weren't messaging just because the ball was in play so often. And we both just went, yeah, man, the quality. And who played like earlier that day? It was like a 30.
Yeah, it was
such a high scoring game. And then you had this and it was.
Well, okay. As a halfback, what second role are you petrified of?
Yeah.
Like Kick Out or someone?
I'd probably say the young gun, David Fifita. Obviously,
yeah.
He's not as big as the other boys, but that footwork is dangerous. It makes me nervous.
And before Jared jumped in with an awesome question just earlier, talking about you want to be a leader, what do you reckon? If you see yourself as a leader, you seem quite confident without, like, you have some players who kind of talk the talk but don't really walk the walk, that sort of thing. So
yeah.
What sort of leadership traits do you see in yourself? And now going to the Roosters, you've got guys like Cordner and Orbison and Jake Friend. What are some of the things you're looking to pick up off those sort of guys?
Yeah, so I think as you come as a halfback, that leadership obviously comes in the style of play that you play, and you really got to be a voice in the field. So I think that will just happen naturally. But definitely take notes off of those guys. Obviously, Boyd's a really good talker and how he talks in the field. But I guess I'm just trying to focus on my footy first, and I guess those leadership stuff will come off the back of that after 50 or 100 games.
All right. we've got, going back to the signings thing, like, a couple of things. When Sean Johnson came over, there was, I don't know if this is 100% true. I'm thinking it might be because Hasler had something to say, but were you offered to Manly at one stage as well?
Yeah, that was right. I had it was probably the year before that actually, that I could go over there. And I think they had a few injuries to go over there for and play under Trent Barrett. So at the time, I thought I probably wasn't ready for first grade. I remember sitting down with the old man going, what I want to do here, because I thought I had a long-term career at the Sharks. So we decided to not go with that, but that opportunity came up for sure.
Do you feel like signing with Newcastle, because we need a six?
I'm loving my time at the Roosters, man. I'm not going anywhere.
Haslam mentioned he's putting a bit of time into Cade Cust. Have you ever played against him? What do you reckon? And if you have, what's he like?
Yeah, so I've played Cade all throughout the junior grades, and I guess there's a good rivalry there, obviously, the Battle of the Beach and that sort of stuff. So, I think we're the same age there, a few mutual friends. I think he's good mates with Sam Verrills, who plays for the Roosters. So,
oh, cool.
All
right, so one thing that, like, I know fans probably talk about more and media kind of does, but nothing's really happened, is with regards to the mid-season signings or the literally round one signing. So you just had like Tyson Frizzell sign with Newcastle and got to play the whole season with St. George.
That's another great second role. Are you worried about?
Do you think, like, I understand from the players' point of view, they want the security. They want to know what's going to happen past that season. But you're looking at the real successful sport comps around the world, your Premier League, your NBA, all that sort of stuff with your free agency period. Do you think that's something you'd be keen on where it's either the club you're playing for puts forward the offer and re-signs you beforehand, or you enter free agency to see what you could get on the market and just have a set time period?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Obviously, the players want to know is their security. And it's hard if you've got a one-year deal and it's about to finish up in November. So sometimes players are playing for their career sometimes. So, I think that's a good idea. It's something to think about for sure. I know the NRL's got plenty going on at the moment, though.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us an inside scoop of what's going on a little? Like,
mate, it's It's crazy.
What was that with like Paul Kent saying, these are NRL athletes, they don't need a preseason, they should be able to come back because they'll be training at home. Like,
yeah, how is training at home going?
I've been training with obviously Brunch and Cherry a fair bit. We're doing some sprint training.
Jesus, it's hard.
But you got to get your body ready for a collision. That's probably the biggest thing. We haven't tackled anyone for 3 weeks now, so it's going to be hard to tackle some big boys if you want to turn it on in a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a thing going around the night, and as we said, we're just fans, so we just look on Fox Sports and Facebook and stuff like that. But it's come out that May 21st is the start of the season. Have you heard anything about that?
I've saw that online, but I guess for me, I'm just waiting to hear from my coaches and our management staff. But I guess we'll have to have a couple of weeks training before that comes around. So until then, I'm just going to focus on training day by day, really.
So both Jared and I used to play. No, we weren't ever anything.
We played C grade, superstars.
C grade, so it's pretty much you pass the ball and get hit 5 or 6 seconds after you've thrown it. One thing I miss is the contact. I love just being involved in the tackle.
I love the sledging.
The sledging too. I found myself like for 3 days after the game not being able to lift different parts of my body or move, that sort of stuff. How quickly does the recovery basically start once a game's finished, knowing that you've probably got, 2 days before training or whatever it is? Is it literally we see on TV, you go into the shed, you get the talk from the coach and recovery starts straight away?
Or do you get on the piss?
Yeah. depends what the next game is, I guess.
Depends if you versus Newcastle. Yeah.
After the coach talks, obviously, if you come off a win, it's a good attitude. But, straight in the ice baths and the next day you're down at the beach doing recovery. And, basically you try to lock that game away straight away and focus on the next week's game. So, by saying that, the performance staff and the physios these days are unbelievable. So, they're always looking after you.
From what you've seen so far, who's a scarier coach as far as giving you a spray? Robinson or Morris? And who is the scariest coach?
Or his dad?
Who is the scariest coach for your dad?
I remember, I think it was in the under-20s one day, we're kicking for touch and I tried to bite off more than I can chew and it didn't go out and the old man ripped me absolutely for hours when I got home. But I guess I'd probably say Robbo, he's got a spray, but then he also brings it back down to earth as well, which is good.
So Morris is pretty calm, or?
Yeah, I think in his first year in first grade, he didn't want to go too hard too early.
He would have played with half the team, so they probably would have started laughing at him.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. Some of the guys there are same age, so, and that respect level was there for sure.
Yeah,
I did coach us for it. Bloody two seasons.
Yeah, Adam coached me. He sucked
at it. Horrible.
Is there a player at the Roosters that's not really, you know, well known that you think is going to be like light up the NRL one day?
I love Nat Butcher. I reckon he's.
Yeah, but like he's already there. Is there a player just like on the fringe who you like? Holy
I think. I think his younger brother actually Egan Butcher.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a bit sort of a similar player. He plays on the edge, but the same sort of work ethic and he's destined for big things, I imagine.
I've got
so you're gonna knock out Pierce and Keary for the New South Wales half spot.
they're in fine form, those boys.
You're gonna hit them with a tire wrench or something.
So
are you gonna run?
So this is a random thing that I picked up. So just like. Looking up, we said you did 2018, you played New South Wales resident, 2018 under-20s origin. Do you know that you hold the record for the most points ever in the Holden Cup?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get a ball when I broke the record, I think. So, that was a good year, I guess.
That'll pretty much never be broken because there's no comp. So... I'm thinking you've got a chance to create more history, like a little history maker with the three-peat for the Roosters. I know it's friggin' ages away. I don't even know it's going to happen. But
it could be 12 weeks away.
Could be. when you rocked up, like, you obviously Cooper Cronk's still around and he's on a mentorship, and I'll come back to that. But what was the specific instructions from Robinson? Is it just go out there and control the game, but don't do anything too flashy? Did he want you to go out and just play your natural game straight away? Did he give more leadership to Keary? Because he's the one getting hit in the press because of the 0-2 start.
Yep.
What sort of instructions?
So Robert obviously, he wanted me to play pretty simple in my first few games. Obviously, build my game up brick by brick. That's the sort of what he says to me. And also to not to try to be Cooper Cronk, obviously bring my own personality to the game. And when it comes to game day, really just play footy. Like, we work so hard during the week. And when it comes to game day, just play my natural game. And yeah, just to make sure I keep learning the Roosters' style of play, and make sure I fit into the defensive systems and really work hard. And comps aren't won in this time of year. It's in November. So yeah, that's exactly right.
What's Cronk like? Has he got that air about him, or is he just a normal? I'm not saying normal because he's, you know what I mean. Like, is he? Do you see him and kind of like in awe, or is he kind of like being cool about it?
Yeah, I sort of lost that now, I guess. We did a session this morning actually, just doing a few drills and full work and this little halfback play there. So obviously getting to know Cooper now, obviously that idol sort of mentality goes away now. He's more of a mate to me now. So having the touch of him and talk about things during the years going to be unbelievable for me.
I think I was at the, who was it? A grand final about 6 or 7 years ago, because we went to, I think, what, three, four
in a row?
Yeah, five in a row. You know, up in the top bleachers, like the people we are. But one time I was walking past, I saw Andrew Johns, and I nearly messed up my pants when I saw him because I'm a Newcastle fan. Is there anyone here who's been like that? You're like, holy shit, look who it is. Anyone you've met throughout the whole thing?
I'll cut that bit out. Keep going.
When I saw James Tedesco the first time this year, like after what he'd done the last couple of seasons, I was like, is that James Tedesco or what? But and he's a legend of a poke too now that I got to know him for sure.
He's like, yeah, it's me. Give me the ball.
Just give me the ball.
Exactly. Without Cooper Cronk, like, it's, I know, I'm a Manly supporter but a Queensland supporter. So 3 games of the year, I love him. The rest, I just respect him. There's a difference. I love him being on commentary now because he's such a straight talker, like straight to the point. Is there any times where he's just going like straight to you saying, you need to work on this? There's no like if, buts and maybes, or is he more like your, I'm a teacher by trade, your compliment sandwich. You're doing this pretty well, need to improve on this, but this is also pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to how he does it actually. Obviously, he talks about things that I've done good in the game, and also tells me things that he wants me to work on during the week, and I just try to go do that in the game, like pretty simply. And it's brick by brick. Don't try to worry about the try system, the fancy plays, the cutout passes, making the tackles, and really building my game. Obviously, I'm only 10 games in my career. Yeah. I'm not.
No, it's 11.
You got to take
that up.
Yeah, you got to take a few hits. You got to take a few hits in your, I guess, in your first 50 to 100 games, and my best footy's ahead, I imagine.
And that's pretty much like, it with that sort of psychology, basically. I think Cronk's like the best player for that because of how successful he was. You're never going to use the words flashy or exciting, I guess, with Cronk, but it was like more clinical, solid. Hardly ever made a mistake. The field goal in Origin from 40 meters out. Jeez. It was just like he was down the park, that sort of thing. So you couldn't have had it. It's pretty hard to get a better mentor than that, I'd say.
And it's just about really like not having too much difference between your worst game and your best game. So making sure
exactly
you're playing an 8 out of 10 every week rather than a 10 and a 2. You're making sure you maintain an 8 every week, and that's something he's pushing for me every week.
I've only got one more. You got anything else?
So, with your kicking for goal, you've obviously taken over, what, Latrell Mitchell now?
Yeah.
So, when you gone up for the junior grades, they described you as one of the best point scorers ever for a junior grade. How much, like, you're obviously pretty confident with your kicking. How much mentally were you different for your first kick in NRL, or sorry, World Club Challenge, to where you, were juniors? Like, was it a, it's the same kind of deal. You're walking on a field, but you're playing NRL now.
So, yeah, exactly right. In the World Club Challenge, I'd say pretty unlucky, but the coach didn't say that. I thought I hit him all right. That didn't come off. But
what did he say?
Oh, you don't get the goals. There's no goals. There's no such thing as a good miss. You know what I mean? So, in the junior grade, I had obviously a lot of success there. But I guess coming into the first grade, I was pretty nervous about it. I'm starting to really come confident with it now, and I guess you got to just take into consideration, obviously, the bigger occasion, the more pressure on each point that you score in a game. And I guess also the workload, obviously your heart rate when you're goal kicking compared to an under 20s game is a lot higher, and the fatigue in your legs. So that's going to, obviously, the more games I play, the better I'll be for that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you mentioned the World Club Challenge earlier. And in that one, it just brought me back to it, saying, honestly, I didn't watch you much when you were playing for Cronulla. But, well, it's just not a team I usually, unless they're playing Manly. But I watch the World Club Challenge every year, and you're one of the best players out there. And considering it's, I love watching the Super League because of, one, the stadiums are way better for league. The crowd's so close. The crowd makes noise. But for that, from what I've seen, very small sample size, that's your best game for the Roosters, and best game that I've seen you play in the career. What was that? Was it the guys around you? Was it the atmosphere? Was it everything? Was it what was on the line, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think obviously I wanted to play well in my first game, but the clear focus I had of my role going into the game, obviously I based a lot of my game around the effort areas, and the effort areas are sometimes really easy to execute. That's whether you're chasing a kick down, just doing small little things about support and that sort of stuff. So, I got lucky. I got a few try assists that game, but I guess you get lucky if you do the work, do the hard work, and the lucky stuff ends up coming in the back end of the halves.
Is there anything from the Super League the NRL should be tapping into to make the atmosphere better here?
Yeah, let the crowd actually do stuff.
I like the I know they're starting to do it now, obviously, with the light shows when you start to walk out, and but the crowd was so close to the sideline. I felt like they were on top of you. I'm not sure how the way the stadiums are built, but the atmosphere was unbelievable. They were singing the whole game, and yeah, it was crazy.
So the closest crazy thing we'd have would be like Skilled Stadium, like, or Seabus now, isn't it? Whatever. The one on the Gold Coast, like, it's your mini Suncorp, your little rectangular stadium, 20,000 people or whatever. What, I know it's hard for the Gold Coast, that sort of area, but yeah, you could imagine something like that, but packed, and kind of be something replicating Super League, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that'd be unreal. Obviously, I think how passionate the fans are over there, and after every penalty, they're screaming. And I really enjoyed playing over there in England. And
what's the freezing style like?
Absolutely freezing. It's all about line speed there. There's not much wrestle. It's really quick style of play. It's probably tough sort of footy.
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of like an A grade sort of game, sort of style of footy. But it was a tough game, and how good we got the win.
Other than Maria Hargraves, you've already touched on, who's the biggest pest in the team? Who's the most annoying bloke? And if it's you, tell us why.
It's definitely not me. he's a guy.
Oh, damn it.
All the boys are pretty good, but I reckon the beers guy, Victor Raleigh, he's always got something to say.
What about Cronulla?
It's always the smallest forwards have the most to say.
What about Cronulla?
Oh, my good mate, Aaron Woods, he likes to go around calling people Derek, so, and he is the world's biggest Derek, so I'd have to say him as well.
Yeah, he doesn't have many fans north of the board, I got to say.
Yeah,
it was a Manly supporter growing up too, and I got to be honest, he's probably the only player I've heard he's grown up supporting Manly who I don't want to play for Manly.
Jesus Christ!
I don't care. It's all good. Jesus. I mentioned earlier I'm a teacher by trade, and teaching some low socioeconomic areas, a lot of footy families, a lot of footy kids, and you get the question of education all the time. And I knew it was a rule back in the day, but is it still in place that all players, or is it just the young players, have to be doing some form of study, some form of work through like career wise or something like that, just so they're backed up, yeah, up footy? And what are you doing?
Yeah, so in the under-20s, they had a motto there, if no work or study, you don't play. So I think that's a really good motto coming through the under-20. I don't think it's like that in the first grade. I study construction management at uni. So I studied full-time the last 3 years. I got that done. I like to get my head away from footy and do really focus on the doing assignments and watching lectures and that. So, I guess I like to have that there knowing I have myself set up after football.
So say you play on a Friday night, do you go watch the free games on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't like to watch too many games after my game, if that makes sense. So if I play on Saturday night, I'd watch both the Friday night games. But after I play my game, I try to switch off footy for that weekend and spend time with the family and not think about footy, because it can be a long year, especially if you're thinking about footy every single day, every single hour. So, yeah, try to get a bit of a break away from footy.
Do you enjoy watching it as a fan?
Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. For me now, I get to see like a lot of boys that I've come through the grades with. And if I'm watching Brisbane, I'm watching Katoni Staggs. I've played with him.
He's a
fan. There's always someone that you know quite well playing in each game, and you're supporting them as well.
I only brought that up because it was probably, I think last year I got back into the NRL, I always watched it, but there was probably a year and a half where it was kind of just in the background. I paid a bit more attention to union. I was just getting a bit over like the over analysis from the referee's point of view and blaming the refs, that sort of stuff. Yeah. It just looked like a different game. But we've talked within our mates, with the new rule changes coming in, is there something that just pisses you off about the game that you reckon they should just get rid of that rule, or is there something you want to bring in?
I'm still working out the captain's challenge. I don't know. That's still something to talk about.
We spent about 20 minutes ripping on that in our previous podcast.
We want to speed up the game. By the way, we're going to bring in a challenge that slows down the game.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Would you bring something in?
I think over in England they have a free play, I think.
Yes.
A knock on. I think that's so you can kick off it, and if it doesn't come off, you come back to where the error was. Or
yeah.
I think that's something that could bring something to the game for sure.
I love that rule.
I've never seen it. It's like a free hitting cricket.
So if the opposition knocks on and you pick it up, instead of getting zero tackle, you've pretty much got a free play till the ball's dead. So if you want to chip and chase and whatever and you lose possession, it always comes back to where the knock on was.
That just sounds like carnage.
It's
like
good.
You guys are just like gridiron ball around, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Awesome.
Cool. I have a look. I think like the actual set questions that I really wanted, I've done with, but on that rule thing, would you be keen for 2-on-1 strips or rapes?
I think that's probably too hard because when you're running, you're not really focused about the ball. I think if you start to focus on holding the ball, I reckon there could be more injuries and that sort of stuff because you're not worried about your body, I guess. So, that's probably one thing.
Last question, I reckon. Cole Flanagan away from footy. Like, we kind of started this podcast because we love footy and we just love talking it. And literally last season, we just had some random conversation saying we'd try this kind of thing. What's your go-to thing, downtime?
I'm a rubbish golfer, boys. I hope you're not golfers. I'm rubbish at golf. So I'm not...
Yeah, no, we'll do a podcast on golf and get a video of you.
All right, I'll get one through. But I like to get down the beach, have a coffee with my mates, and just enjoy the good vibes, I guess, getting outdoors and that sort of stuff.
That's awesome. Wicked, man.
No, I've got nothing else. Thanks for coming on, man. That's awesome of you.
All good, guys. All the best for the podcast, and yeah, talk soon for sure.
Awesome. Cheers, mate. Play well. We just don't want the Roosters to do too well, but as long as you're doing all right, we're happy.
I hope they get the spoon.
Cheers, mate. That's Bambi's job. All right, welcome back, guys. Hope you really enjoyed that. We had a ball doing that.
Thanks, Kyle Flanagan. He didn't have to do something like that, but he took time out of his day to help us out. And a big thanks to my brother Billy for organising it and still trying to organise a few other people to line up to come on the podcast. So thanks to both of you for taking time out of your days for that. Awesome.
Yeah, he was great to chat to, Kyle. He's 21, only 11 games into his NRL career and at the back-to-back reigning premiers. And we talked about obviously what it's like being there now as opposed to his old club and his childhood club, Cronulla. And like Jared mentioned, we've got a couple of interviews lined up in the coming weeks ahead. So keep an eye and ear out for that. So what we're going on to today is, during this week, since we've last talked, that a specific date has come out of the 28th of May. And I think there may have been a little bit of confusion about this is the starting date of the NRL. That's not the case. It's a proposed date. It's the date the NRL wants to start on. But it's not the definite date it will start on. That's a big difference. Yeah. But at this stage, clubs have started training preparation for the comp to start on the 28th of May, which is weeks away.
I think how everything's been handled, I understand that it's not set in stone yet how it's done, because there's no details how they're going to handle it, the comp structure, all that kind of stuff yet. I think how it's been handled is a bit not been great, because they haven't exactly covered all their bases. Like, as you said, it's only in New South Wales they're allowed to play. There's, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 other teams that aren't in New South Wales. So they come out and release a date and they're like, but we have to deal with Queensland, Victoria and New Zealand about how we're going to play it. So I don't think they've done a great job in that. I don't think they should have come out and said, theoretically, it's going to start. I just don't. Yeah, it's kind of messy, the whole situation, I think.
So yeah, what Jared was saying then, with regards to me saying this is something we were talking about before air, that the letter that's been leaked out and the permission that the ARL has got, comes from New South Wales Commissioner of Police, Mick Fuller, and basically it's all along the lines of, the directions apply as long as there's an absence of crowds at the relevant stadiums, and it's only applied to New South Wales-based teams. So this 28th of May start date right now only concerns 9 clubs. Yeah. Jared's just said Queensland, Victoria, ACT, New Zealand still have to come on board. And that's what the NRL has said, that they're still working behind the scenes.
Which is my point, because they shouldn't have put a date out in public unless they've worked behind the scenes with those other four entities. So that's why I think they've jumped the gun, which I think they kind of, when they cancelled the season, they didn't do a great job either, just because of the fact that I think it was the Monday after round 2 when they did it. All through the weekend, they're like, we're definitely playing, and definitely playing, and definitely playing. And then the Mondays came out, I think it was like released at 2 o'clock. Oh, no, we're not playing anymore.
Yeah, but they also did cover themselves saying that we're going to keep playing until things change.
Yeah, I just like understand there's no rule book to what they're playing to right now with this pandemic. But they just seem like very rushed in everything they're doing. So it's just kind of, yeah, I don't know. They just seem kind of, yeah, rushed. I think that's the word for it.
Yeah, we talked about it as well. It's high risk, high reward. And right now they're playing roulette. Like, if they pull this off by 28th of May, the reward is huge because the AFL's not even talking about putting their plans in place till the end of this month. Rugby union's pretty much
they're dead anyway.
A League's doing actually all right, but they're already under the radar compared to the other three or the other two anyway.
I did read somewhere that they've said that any rugby, if they do start on May 28th, any rugby league player who contracts the virus, there goes the comp for the season. So pretty much that, like you said, it's a high risk, high reward, but that's a massive risk.
Yeah.
Like with how, from what I understand, I'm not an expert, how easily this virus transfers and how you don't know about it for a fortnight or whatever it is, something like that, isn't it?
No.
It's not like that, no. You do know about it reasonably quick.
Yeah, the younger you are, there can be chances where you show no symptoms, where you can be in contact with someone. But the fortnight timestamp is the period with which you can pass it on. Technical, but it varies
when
from
you
person
say,
to person.
When you say young people, that puts every NRL player in the right bracket because their lungs will be perfect, their body is prime physical condition. So,
They may not... when I'm saying young, I'm talking like kids, but they still may not display any symptoms, but they can be a carrier. But I'm not too worried with regards to them being in that position because the other caveat of this is... and. The first big player to, not player, big person to come out and rebuke this was the South CEO, Blake Solly, saying that the naysayers of the NRL having a return date are ill-informed, basically saying, are you getting into us because you believe that we're putting the comp above the health of the players and the staff?
I kind of do.
So I don't only because... they're under a hell of a lot stricter measures than anyone else in the public are.
Yeah, but that's what kind of annoys me about it because, and I've said it before, and I love rugby league, but it's not a priority during the middle of a pandemic.
No.
It really isn't. It's not. No. So I know rugby league or at least a few teams would die if they called a season off, and I'd hate it personally. But the bottom line is, the NRL is not important compared to the rest of society locking down.
No,
that's the part that kind of annoys me about it. They're pushing for these guys to play, which is fair enough. But you know, we're not allowed to go see our parents because of the fact that you know they could be potentially high risk.
Mm.
But these guys are going to walk around on the football field smacking the shit out of each other again in real close contact.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to go see their parents either.
Well, Wayne Bennett, he'd be in high risk. Like,
yeah, he would be.
Like, there's a lot of blokes out there who's going to follow him around who're pushing 60. Like Craig Bellamy, what's he now? Like, there's still a few people who they're going to bring in, make it involved, who's going to be involved in the competition, who will still be high risk.
That's true. I think also that'll be up to the clubs to put in place the parameters around that. And we're talking about this date like it's tomorrow. It's still another 6 weeks away.
I know.
So
and the rate has been falling.
The rate's been falling. It's going to hopefully. The parameters Australia's put in place is we're in a hell of a lot better situation. But I reckon if the NRL pulls this off, they'll be doing it with regards to putting the health and welfare of the players and the staff first, because if they don't, the fallout from that's going to be worse, or if possible, than a player contracting it. Especially if a player contracts it in public or whatever, the NRL's still going to cop stuff just because that's what the media does, but it's not going to be there. Blame, whereas if it's brought in and then contracted, it's going to be a little bit different. So the interesting thing is players have now come out, like Nathan Cleary said, fitness won't be an issue if you've got 6 weeks notice. It'll just be like the the ball playing, the partnerships, that sort of stuff. So
the contact. That's what Kyle Flanagan
said. Oh, contact as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's been training with Bronson Sherry a little bit. And he said the only thing he'd probably need is probably contact.
Yeah. And he'd be a great example of people who would have been working on new partnerships and new plays, etc. The chemistry is the word I was looking for. Teams like Broncos may struggle with that a little bit. Teams like Canberra may struggle with that with George Williams.
To be honest, Newcastle are going to struggle because if they do play on May 28th,
McCallum Ponga won't be back still.
And Jaden Brayley. So they're going to have Connor Watson, I'm assuming, at hooker. Mm. And whoever they throw in it, probably your mate Tex Hoy, maybe. It's going to be interesting. Like, that 6 weeks should give them enough time. That's plenty of time. And that's if it gets kicked into gear tomorrow.
And that's also if teams are going to be training as whole teams straight away. So that is one of those details that hasn't come out. Broncos have said that they've started their training. Their preparations in swing for full training, but they hasn't actually said that they're all going to be training together as a whole club as of yet. So, again, that's going to be Queensland having to get on board now.
So, and another interesting part would be is how many people do you bring to training? So, obviously, you bring your top 30.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that too,
because this has nothing to do with Q Cup or New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, so do you bring your reserve grade, like 10 of your reserve grade players in? So that means you've got, 40?
I don't think they will.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like you have an injury and a half, and let's say you get two injuries in your halves, you probably only have one or two in your top 30 that are halfbacks. So you got to bring someone up from New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, but the New South Wales and Queensland Cup teams wouldn't be training with the NRL teams weekly anyway, because they've got their own teams that they'd be training.
Yeah, but in saying that too, like I'm talking about more fitness and contact and all that.
Yeah, I realise that, but that's why you've got your 30, not 17.
Yeah, so the team who gets a few injuries is going to struggle. So Newcastle with Brayley tearing his ACL. They're already a step behind for that reason.
Yeah, but they'll for an ACL, they'll be bringing someone up to fill that spot in the 30 anyway. So
Watson will play 9 for the rest
of the year. Yeah, no, but I mean, they'll bring someone up into the squad of 30 from reserve grade
4. As I asked Kyle Flanagan, I'm really hoping he signs with Newcastle and plays 5-8 for us.
Well, I don't think anyone would ever make that decision. But before coming on, I talked about just then Blake Solly from Rabbitohs being the first key person to come out and say, we're not doing this by putting our players at risk. And yes, it hasn't come out and said that the government or any medical biosecurity experts have said you're not allowed to. In saying that, it doesn't seem as though they sought permission from them. They technically don't need to. They're getting advice based on them, but I don't think they can ever make the call to say you can't play. It's just not advised. And that hasn't come out. They've just come out and said that they weren't consulted at this stage. And that's fair. I'm saying that they'll do that before they kick off.
I hope so.
They will, because that was the base of them shutting down. Now, Jared brought up a point this afternoon with regards to Nick Politis probably being the highest, personality to talk about the points on the table and whether they should have been scrapped.
I did read that yesterday. I don't know if it's the media's this replaying article from last week, but he did say that he'd prefer start from scratch because of the fact that they're starting a whole new competition and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, because it has definitely been scrapped by that. What's it? Project Apollo?
Yeah.
That's what it's called. I can't believe you said it just because of the fact that like those teams earned those points. And those suspensions come out of it too. Like, dude, it's people who get suspended in those first two rounds. It's just, like I said, it's not happening, but I'm just arguing against it at this point. Like, suspensions, can you put Jaden Brayley's ACL back together because it didn't count, essentially?
Yeah.
So, there's stuff like that. It's just really close-minded by people for saying that.
And I think not on. Because they've come out and said that when this, if the season kicks off on the 28th of May, it's going to be 13 rounds to go, which means everyone's played each other once. If they were going to come out and say 15 rounds to go and everyone plays each other once,
and then they would have had games.
Yeah, then they would have had a step to stand on. But when I say they, that the people wanting to scrap the points, the fact that they're going to play 13 more games means everyone's versus each other once, means state of origin, means finals will still be played around the same time as they usually would. So as little disruption as possible. And I 100% agree with you, Jared. If you're scrapping points from the first 2 weeks, you're scrapping suspensions. You obviously can't scratch injuries because they've already happened. But if you're scrapping points, you got to scrap suspensions, which means you then would start needing to look at, do we include compensation for those injured? Because now they're playing a new comp with two players who aren't available because technically of pre-season injuries now instead of actual regular season.
So you should be able to buy James Seguiaro.
Yeah, and not use the NC Chalice. So if you're 0-2, you're 0-2 because you didn't play well enough to win your first two games. If you're 2-0, then you've done the best thing possible. You've put yourself ahead of the game as you would have in a normal comp. If it's a shortened season, it's given you an advantage, yeah, but you've earned that advantage and you've lost that advantage if you haven't played as well. So, and the team sitting 1-1, well, they've got just as much chance going up as they do down.
Well, that's you. I was about to say I didn't care
either way. I did. You're not scrapping points because those games are in the history books. That's people made their debuts in those games. People hit milestones in those games. All right, guys, just looking at what next week's show is going to look like. We've hopefully got another interview lined up midweek that we'll do and have that ready for our show next Monday. We're also going to have a look at Newcastle's greatest ever team, according to Jared. So from 1988, the year they came into the comp, to 2020. And I'm going to do the same for Manly and go from 1988 to 2020 because Manly coming in 47 gives me a lot more players to choose from. I will do an overall team as well, but we'll have a look at our two teams, man on man, and we'll put it out for a poll. And there we go. We're also going to dive into this conference system because I think we're going to have some pretty juicy arguments with regards to that.
I'm going to win because it's a dumbass idea.
On the most recent poll, it's 75% against the idea, 25% for the idea. But we'll go over all the caveats with regards to that. And we might make mention of the Fox Sports 2025 Kangaroos team that they've put forward and run our eye over that. But hopefully we're going to have another interview. Keep your eyes out for who that might be and have a listen out for our new outro as well. Anything from you, Jared, before we say goodbye?
Nah, I'm kind of just thinking of what my Newcastle team would be. I'm struggling in a few positions.
Not surprised.
No, I'm not. We've got some very obvious spots and a lot of obvious positions, but there's some positions you like. We had nobody, like no one decent over the time. So it's kind of annoying.
Hey, you won two premierships. Come on, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, but in those positions, like I'm looking at a particular
we'll talk about
position.
It next week. That'll give you a list.
And there's a star there, and it's a two-person position, and there's one absolute legend of a player, and there's just no one else.
That's Newcastle.
Hey, when you have an immortal, come see me.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, from 88 onwards. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. Well, no one actually saw. What was it, Graham? Is it 80? No. Who was you? Do you have an immortal?
Fulton.
Ah, whatever. He's overrated. No one's even got film of him playing. He just done it for reputation.
Are you going to say goodbye or not?
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.